Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Awakening. I'm your host, Heather.
And I'm your co-host, Tamara, aka Jezebel.
And this week, we have a really incredible guest named Sam, and he is part of the Can't Pray Me Away Network, a nonprofit that actually helps people that are survivors of conversion torture therapy. We are really honored to have him on our show today and to be able to talk to him about his experience. So welcome in, Sam.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here and honored, honestly.
I am so excited to be sitting down with you finally because we've been connected for quite some time. I've followed you online. I watch your content. Your story is both heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking, but you are so freaking brave. And I'm proud of you for everything that you have overcome and where you're at now, you know, on your journey, because you're helping other people, which is so incredible. So I'm going to do what we do with all of our guests and kind of ask you where it all started. What did your upbringing look like? What religion were you raised in? What was that religious structure like?
Okay.
Tell us about the beats.
Let me know if any terms don't make sense, because it's hard for me sometimes to translate Mormonism into. I try to use appropriate terms to lean into evangelicalism, but
yes.
it was my world, right? And so it's,
yes.
sometimes it can be like, wait, right? A ward is a congregation. Got it? Yeah.
Okay.
And
so yes, we will ask you to divine terms if we need you to do so, because I'm not sure if some of our listeners are aware of what things like soaking are, for
oh God.
example. You know. So.
Well, so here's the thing. I will say, so among conversion therapy survivors, and even among ex-Mormons, one of the things that is different about my story is how race gets into preparation, honestly, for conversion therapy. Because the Mormon understanding of the war in heaven is they understand that all of us were spirit babies before we were physical babies.
Okay.
And Jesus is like, hey, let's go down on earth, have free will, and then choose God. Praise be, right? But then Satan was like, I'm going to force everyone to be good. And that was the war in heaven. And they don't push this anymore. But the theology, especially when I was a child in the 80s in Provo, Utah, was that war in heaven is why we have Black people. Because people who really kind of were on the fence, they were fence sitters, didn't want to go with Jesus's plan. The curse for them was a skin of blackness. And that's how you can understand the good people from the bad people and not to mix, right?
Whoa.
And so when I was this little boy, I have this video, I have this photo of me as this like 7-year-old reading this Book of Mormon for children type of thing. I read this picture saying the Lamanites, and the Lamanites were the bad people in the Book of Mormon, used to be white, but they were cursed because of their wickedness with a skin of blackness, and that's why they're dark. And it just so happened around the age of 7, that's when my bullying for being gay started and for being brown. And like, as soon as the sun touches me, I can be misinterpreted for a lot of different races, right? And I'm a mixture of a lot of things, but a lot of people thought I was Black and were definitely bullying me for it. So what is a 7-year-old going to think?
You took on that curse. You wore that identity. Like, that's exactly what you're going to do. You were taught that brown people were the curse. Like,
and
oh.
There's a story in the Book of Mormon when they were so righteous, Lamanites had the curse removed. So what is a 7-year-old going to think is the answer to his bullying?
Wow.
Become more devout, right? And that is really where I start my conversion therapy story, because when I hear about ex-Mormons who are gay or Mormons who are gay, I'm always confused why they didn't seek out conversion therapy, because it's in our theology.
Yeah.
Right? I would look in the mirror every single day. I think I'm lighter today. Because I was good. Okay.
Wow.
Or the fear of, wait, I'm darker, but I swear I was so good. What's wrong? Without this idea of like, well, but you also need to avoid the sun and also this, right? And also it's a bullshit theology.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because you're a kid.
And you're a kid. You're not going to know any better. You're
no.
not going to know that spending too much time in the sun is going to make you darker. You're not going to know that being out of the sun is going to make you lighter, right? And
right.
that
And
has
Sam,
got to take such a mental toll on you. Like, wow.
Yeah,
and they
and
would
when
always
you're,
do this, like, but you're lighter than you would be. So the goalpost has always moved,
Yeah.
right? Sorry, you were gonna say?
Oh no, I was just going to say, and when you're raised in these type of high controlled religions, right? People often say, "Well, why didn't you just leave?" That is never even a question.
Yeah.
You and it's like, "Okay, so it's bad for the rest of the world, but it wasn't bad when I was there because I was
Exactly.
so sure that I was the only one going to make it to heaven. So when I did something wrong, I would do a million things extra to get
Oh
attention
my
from the
goodness, yes.
pastor, from the pastor's wife, from the women of the church. I from a young girl, it was like always like trying to make yourself this
It's your world. Yes.
because it's our world." And people are like, "Well, why did you believe that?" I'm like, "Well, why wouldn't I believe it?"
Everybody in my family believed it. Everybody in my community believed it.
I
You
wasn't
really,
exposed
yeah, like.
to neighbors that were sinners. I wasn't exposed to people on the street
Yeah.
who were not apostolic Pentecostal. I saw them,
Exactly.
but I was in this world, but I was not of
Yes.
this world.
I love to challenge people to
And I
think
believe that.
if you're the only one in your world thinking, oh, that does sound wrong, you're going to be told you're the idiot. And you're
Absolutely.
opening, it's actually kind of stupid to fight against because you're opening yourself up to more bullying,
Yes.
right?
But if you
He's a very
don't
strong
know,
person.
yeah, but if you
Yeah.
don't know it's wrong, if you
Yeah.
don't know the abuse is wrong, if you don't know the DV is wrong, if you don't know CSA is wrong, if you don't know sexual assault is wrong within the church, if you don't know making fun of the LGBTQIA community or the black community, if you don't know that's wrong and you are taught to do these things, it's normalized. The hatred is normalized. The discrimination is normal. I mean, we know, like, Yeah.
you know,
Right. But
and
go
let's
ahead.
talk about normalization because this was in the 80s, and the
Yeah.
Mormon Church only started to allow people with Black ancestry to become full members in 1978.
Wow.
Right. So 78,
Wow.
this is just a few years before I was born. So of
Yeah.
course they were still teaching this and I was internalizing it. And so of
Absolutely.
course, you know, I learned becoming more righteous is my protection. So it became my shield.
And the older people, even though they introduce in 1978, right? That doesn't mean the OGs of that church were going to take on the new ways of the
No.
thought process. Because there's a lot of times it would be like we would learn the scripture, see and ask for the old path wherein is a good way, few there be to find it. That was like our mantra of our church, right? So where the younger people were like, yay! You didn't go against the elders, so it didn't matter what the bylaws said.
Yep. Well,
Right? Was that, did you find the same thing?
I think one powerful nugget that I've been given after my deconstruction is that a lot of people are saying it doesn't matter that they don't teach that anymore. It's still in the Book of Mormon, literally saying skin of
Yeah.
blackness.
Yeah.
They still have that primary song for children
Yep.
singing the Book of Mormon song where you're given this land if you live righteously, right? And now imagine that you're this
Yeah.
7-year-old Mexican kid who's like, I've never been to Mexico. I'm an American. Are they going to deport me to Mexico if I'm not righteous? What
Wow.
do you mean, given this land, if you live righteously, right? So it's still in there, even if it's not currently being taught. The key is it's not being untaught.
Yes.
Just
Yes.
disavowing it is not enough. You have to
Yep.
unteach
You have to unteach it.
that all
Yes.
day. Yes.
Yes.
Because as long as you're silent about what you have done, you are still promoting what you are doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah,
So
that
when did you realize that you were queer? Like you've always been queer, obviously, but when did you realize, and how did your parents handle that when you came out of the closet?
Yeah, so when did I know? I didn't really know. I was always afraid that I might be because that's what
Yeah.
everyone thought about me. But I didn't really know until 15 when I really loved my best friend. Like, I could not get enough of being around him. And he was filling out and he was working out. And I was just, And then I was doing this job at this grocery store because they allowed me to work at 15 and a half. And I was like, oh my God, I think I'm in love with my best friend. I think I am gay, right?
Oh
And then
no.
But when I realized, I mean, I know that it can be a tad problematic, but it was also representative of my life. My mom was a Puerto Rican woman raised in the Bronx. Yeah. Now living in Provo, Utah, where it's like 85% white, mom, right. dad, five kids, right? Like that's the norm, yeah. vast majority. I literally knew that if I told my mom, there was a good chance if she didn't kill me, she would physically hurt me. She'd apologize later, but
yeah,
right? Like we got some trauma in our family that is unhealed. And so I went right back into that closet and yeah. kept doing what I needed to do. And then I served my Mormon mission. But the problem is that as soon as I went, day one, I started my Mormon mission. You're not allowed to be alone because they know if you're alone, you might start touching yourself or doing things you shouldn't do, right? Yeah. So you're never allowed to be alone.
Yeah.
And suddenly, ah, shit, that gay stuff is still there. I thought I had prayed it away. Oh, no. I had worked so hard. What do I do?
Yeah.
So I saw a therapist in the Mormon Missionary Training Center. And he said, how do you feel about this? And I was like, I hate myself. I'm disgusted. I can't believe I still feel this way. Because I had a boyfriend when I was 13, but I gave up.
Yeah.
You know, being gay for Jesus, honestly.
Yeah.
So I thought mm-hmm. it was gone. And he's like, well, good. If you hate yourself that much, then you're right with the Lord. And move on.
Oh, my
right?
God.
And so...
Wow.
I think
horrible.
My whole year and a half, I'm thinking, okay, I am straight. That's what yeah. the therapist said. I'm good. I'm good. And then it just was not good. But what sent me home early, as a matter of fact, because you're supposed to serve 2 years. I'm in a year and a half out. Everyone knows that I'm gay, except me, obviously. And it just so happened that this other missionary came on to me. And
Wow.
I was told by the prophets, you need to hit him physically, which sucks wow. because here I was, this queer kid being told if you ever approach someone, you're going to get physically attacked, right? Because that's what the prophet yeah. is literally telling you to do. And so I knew the right response of him coming on to me very upfront was violence, but I couldn't. And so I just sat there telling him no until he finally gave up. And I felt so guilty because if your eyes lust,
yeah,
it's just as bad. Yep. And so now I feel like I just sinned, even though I repeatedly said no and didn't allow him to touch me. I feel like I just broke the most sacred law of chastity
wow.
and I should not be here anymore. I confess to my mission president and he sends me home. And so wow. now, even though on my paper, it says sent home with honor, it says sent home on a medical release. So now the church is literally saying this is a medical issue. And of course I went to therapy
yeah.
because that's what my prophet was saying. That's what my church was yeah. saying. That's what my parents were saying. My mom thought I was now a pedophile and wouldn't allow me to be alone with my little brother, who was this 3-year-old, the most adorable person in the world, who I would literally kill for. Like, don't get between him and me, right? Like, I will kill yeah. for him. But now I'm being told I'm going to harm him. And I was so broken.
Yeah,
I was afraid maybe my mom was right because I had lied to myself about being gay. So yeah. what if
else
I
were
am
you
a
lying to yourself about?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And I had this fear for 2 weeks until my mom's like, why are you avoiding your little brother? He's trying to hug you. I'm like, well, what if I heard it? My mom's like, oh, gosh, you're not a pedophile. I just was ignorant. You're fine. And I was like, well, thanks for telling me. I thought I was yeah. a pedophile the whole time because I was so
you were internalizing
broken.
Everything that was being said. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's,
and you weren't in a solid mental state at that
no.
point. I would not imagine. My goodness. That's whole wretched what you were being put through.
And I think and what, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. And I think the other thing is as well, is that we get so caught up when we're at that age of only being able to internalize the way we've been taught. We're
yes.
not internalizing it as if it's a therapist helping walk us through it. We're internalizing it with a therapist that has been handpicked by
yes.
the elders of the church that
yep.
are saying exactly what they want us to say, tell us to say. So
and
when we're trying to process
more.
our sin,
yep.
we are re-traumatizing ourselves
yes.
and our brains by what we've been taught instead
absolutely.
Of actually getting the help to walk us through that. Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, and I think that's what these healing spaces of like evangelical or you know deconstruction spaces, they often relate to my story because that experience of being in front of a person of authority telling you you don't understand yourself, you can't
Yes.
trust yourself, your
Yes.
reality is not your reality, you just
Yeah.
need to believe harder, you're the problem, and then you'll change. That
Yes.
makes sense to people
Yes.
who have been in a coercive culture because they know
Absolutely.
what it's like for things not to change. So
Yep.
it's your fault, and
Yep.
you have to try harder. And then the cycle continues and continues,
Yes.
and you hate yourself more and more and more. Because that's what happened in conversion
Yeah.
therapy. It was just intense, specifically because of my sexual orientation. But if you take that with gender,
Yeah.
sexuality, so many, and in my experience, racial identity, right? Like
Yes.
that is the core of conversion therapy.
Yes.
And by the time you're all done with everything you just said, you're going to hell.
Yep.
Yes.
You're going to burn for
Yes.
eternity with gnashing of teeth.
You'll never be good enough. Never.
So let's get into your conversion therapy experience. And I also want you to talk to us a little bit about some of the other people that you've worked with that have been through conversion therapy as well, because you get to hear stories that we don't get to hear. And I want you to be able to share some of that for our listeners, because I want them to understand the gravity and how serious and dangerous conversion therapy is,
Conversion
because it's
therapy.
not therapy. We called it conversion torture earlier because that's exactly
Yes.
what this is. It's called a therapy, but it is actually torture practices. And Sam is very well educated on this, so I'd love for you to talk to us about it.
Yeah, sure. Another reason why people connect to the experience is because when you look at the research, conversion therapy looks like so many things. Everyone immediately thinks about electroshock therapy, right?
Yes.
But I love to start with the research term SOGIS, and it stands for sexual orientation or gender identity or expression change efforts. And I
Okay.
like that because think about the expression change efforts. What's it like to be a woman in an evangelical church being told you're not performing
Yeah.
your womanhood correctly?
Yes.
That is SOGIS. You do not
Yes.
have to be queer to have experienced a form of conversion therapy. And so
Yes.
it's just the beautiful thing about the queer community is we try to identify binaries and break them the hell down. It is
Yeah.
not a binary, it is a scale. And so
Yes.
even straight people can be sometimes even conversion therapy survivors because sometimes straight people are sent to conversion therapy. But the core of conversion therapy, straight people get it too. So the difference is the intensity and the exposure. And so I
Yeah.
like to talk about that because a lot of conversion therapy survivors will come up to my booth at Pride and be like, well, I'm not a conversion therapy survivor, but, and then they'll share their conversion therapy survivor story.
Yeah.
And I will say, you know, that does sound like conversion therapy, but that, if that's not a label you want, that's fine. Because I don't push labels on people because that's what conversion therapy does, right?
Yes.
It tells people who they are. I don't tell people. I just
Yeah.
educate. And if they want to lean into it, cool. But they'll slowly realize, well, shoot, actually, now that you're talking about it, I do remember I saw a therapist, but they couldn't even remember that because we
Yes.
have to survive. We have
Yes.
to push down our memories so much that a lot of the core experience of being a conversion therapy survivor is actually memory loss. It's in our community flag.
Yes.
Like the first thing there is memory loss because a lot of us, in order to survive, had to forget we were queer. And so,
Yeah.
one of the favorite things I love to tell people on podcasts like this is I loved when this survivor in community with us, because we have a weekly support group. That's
Yeah.
what it, that's the core of what we offer. This support group survivor said, I remember the day I realized, oh my God, I'm a lesbian. I love my husband the same way I love my cat. I do not see a difference between my love for my cat, my love for my husband. I'm a lesbian and I'm in love with my best friend. Right. And all of us were nodding our head because, like, yeah, I remember thinking conversion therapy worked. I
Yeah.
totally thought it worked. I preached that it was working. That's what you have to do to
Yeah.
survive. And that's why
Yes.
some conversion therapists will try to push research and then we
Yeah.
tear it apart because, great. Now let's do a
Uh-huh.
longitudinal study, honey, and talk to those people in 20 years and see if they're actually still
Yes.
straight. Oh, lo and behold, they're not.
Yes.
Go figure. They never
Yes.
changed.
No. And if they did pretend to be straight, they were only able to keep up the facade for so long. And then down the road, they have a split up family. They've got kids with a woman that they should have never married in the first place. Like, I have seen this time and time again. Like, one of my really good friends is one of those people that was, felt like she had to be married to a man because that's what God, expected, and tried for years to make that marriage work because he was a really good man. Like, she could talk to him about all of these struggles, but at the end of the day, he was a freaking man and she was a lesbian and it just would never work. So, and you
And can
cannot make it work.
and then on a sub level, can we normalize divorce? Can we
Oh
take
yeah,
the
it's
whole,
not a
can we
failure.
please take the stigma
Yes,
out of that? If you are
absolutely.
better off walking away and ending something than maintaining a
Yes.
facade and continuing to live a lie.
Yeah, and in
Yeah.
toxicity, because
But
you're
we
hurting yourself, you're hurting other people. If there's children involved, they get hurt too because kids are not happy being raised in a broken home. I am a product of that. It screws you up. I can
Let's
tell you
normalize
that.
people
Like,
making decisions for themselves because
yes.
divorce is not a failure, or staying
No.
in a mixed orientation marriage, if it's healthy and
Yes.
it can
Right.
be, you don't
Yes.
have to leave just because you have different
No.
orientations,
No.
but you can, and
I am,
no choice is
yeah.
right for everyone.
I am bisexual.
Right.
My husband is just cis and as straight as they get. But you know what? I'm going to be bi till the day that I die. And that just is what it is. And just because I'm married to a really incredible man does not erase that. Bi erasure is such a huge thing, especially if you're
Huge.
mar in a hetero relationship, because it's like, you can't be bi. You're married to a dude. Oh, I'm sorry. I still think chicks are hot. And that's not changing anytime soon, so
Right. And the reason why divorce, I believe, it's because of Christianity and it's because of
yes,
indoctrination. It's not because the outside secular
yeah,
world. It's because of the shame and the shunning that women
yes.
get from being that divorced wife.
That's why my mother stayed with
Just
my father
normalize it.
and stayed in an abusive marriage until she passed away, because she was convinced that she was too weak to do it on her own. She was a woman. She couldn't lead. She couldn't take care of her own family. She internalized all of that messaging. And she also internalized that divorce is like so egregious and you just don't do that no matter what. You stay with him to a fault. And she did that. And she died married to that man, right? And now, because I have a voice, I won't ever let anybody take it from me, because I know that her not using hers cost her everything. Everything,
I love this podcast because you are modeling for people that not only is it okay to use your voice, but here's how it looks like. And I
Yes.
love that because that right there is one of the most common experiences, not just people from cults have, but also conversion therapy survivors, because you're not allowed to know what
Yes.
you authentically feel,
Yep.
what your own opinion is. And it is
Yes.
so hard to discover your real self.
Yes. It,
Right. When you've never been given
self-discovery.
freedom to.
No. And, I always say it always seems like, and I love it when people are deconstructing, but sometimes to people that are in the church, it can look like people are just going hog wild, like having their sowing their wild oats like you would do in your 20s. But you got to realize you have a 30 or 40-year-old that is in their 20s right now. That's exactly how they feel, because they finally have the freedom to explore the world around them and they want to try everything. And there are people that are going to be like hyperactive at trying all the things. And then you have the opposite side where people are just really nervous and reserved at first, barely sticking their toe in the water, because if I say this F word, I might burn alive right now.
And God forbid people make mistakes because, like me, I was so sheltered. I remember this working at this men's warehouse, and this guy was trying on this sweater. And he's like, "Hey, do you think this looks tight?" And I interpreted it literally because I didn't know tight meant cool, right? Because if it wasn't, something that the prophets taught or the Book of Mormon or something for the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, it was
Yes.
sinful. I didn't watch The
Yes.
Simpsons. I didn't watch Seinfeld. That was
Yes.
That was haram. That
And
was bad,
yes, and
right?
I remember just having random conversations with people and just feeling like the air got sucked out of the room by me talking about just a childhood story and how abusive and abnormal it was, you know? And they're horrified. And I'm like, what? This isn't normal?
Yeah.
They're like,
Sam.
no, that's not normal. You were abused.
God forbid you have no models on how to handle tough situations and then
Yes,
make
and
all the mistakes ever.
they wonder why I laugh at inappropriate times, or you know, people will sometimes be telling their stories and I'll giggle a little bit, and it's just because it the ridiculousness of it. But also, I process trauma through dark humor, like really dark
Very. And you know, the other thing that Heather and I do when you were talking about our voices and stuff, right? We have fundy voices.
Yes. And I actually, you know, we talk about it all the time, but when we were in the church, we had to speak in just a certain cadence because,
We had to.
yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes,
Come
sir,
on.
no, sir. And it was always the
Jesus loves
soft
you.
baby voice. And I was kind of chuckling the other
We
day because I
were
went through,
taught.
we were. And I was chuckling the other day because I was just going through the drive-thru getting some lunch. And I used that voice in the drive-thru when I was talking to the girl. And I was like, why did you just use that voice right now? Like, called
Yeah.
myself out on it
Because,
instantly.
but women don't understand that that's what we do. When we walk into a meeting
Yes.
room and we walk into work and we are from a high-controlled religion, I cannot tell you how many times I've walked into that room, sat down, had a presentation to do, and looked around and said, "Good morning, everybody. How is everyone doing
Yes.
today?"
Yep. And you know, like I just had to
What?
work a couple of weeks ago filling in for, you know, a friend that wanted me to fill in at her little store. And I haven't worked there in a little while, but I filled in for a couple of days. And sure as crap, my fundy self was running that store because
And
it's
me and
my
Heather
customer
were.
service voice, you know, it's how I'm so polite to people. But it's crazy how you code switch to fall back into that role because
Yes.
that's a habit too,
You
you
know what's
know? And
interesting? I think I should tell you how I got out of conversion therapy because I think this will conversion therapy because I think this will be telling for you and really helpful. My very last therapist loved to use psychology. And he's the person who taught me neurons that fire together wire together, right? It's a true psychological concept to normalize that, you know, if you have a certain thought pattern, it's probably always going to be there. And so he tried to say that I had taught myself how to have gay thoughts because it's like
Oh
I'm going to say a phrase, Rudolph the Red-Nosed
Reindeer. Yeah.
Reindeer, right? And you know that the next phrase is reindeer because you've had that thought so many
Right.
times. So it's like your gay thoughts are Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Really, God wants you to sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Buffalo. And I know it's going to sound gross. It's going to be icky at first. And I hate that he's like literally equating women's bodies to gross buffaloes, but
Buffaloes, yeah.
neither here nor there. Right. But I love the fact that at the end of it, and I thought he was going to teach me how to undo those neurons, right? I left conversion therapy when he was honest and be like, "Oh no, you're never going to be able to pray this away. This is going to be there for the rest of your life. You need to
Yeah.
learn that every now and then, random firing of neurons, you're going to say Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rough with reindeer.
You just have to be okay with that and then just keep singing Buffalo." And so me and my poor little Mormon heart is like, "You're telling me I'm going to cheat on my wife and have to be okay with that?"
Oh my
No.
gosh.
Right? And so now I realize every now and then, if I still do something that was Mormon,
Yeah.
I remind myself, oh, I was just singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Mormon for a little bit. And that's
I love that.
okay. It
And
was
that's
so much a
okay.
part of
Yes,
me.
I
Every
did
now and
that
then,
better.
I'm still
Yes.
going to be a little bit Mormon. I'm still going to be like, that reminds me of that scripture.
Yes.
Okay, that's
Oh,
fine.
I love
That's
this. That's exactly what we
fine.
do. I love this. I love that so much. That
And
is
Heather and
great.
I go live, right? So there are people like we have friends from South Africa, and we had some new people on our live. And she, and the one friend of mine said, "Wait a minute, I want to ask the new people, do you guys know what they're talking about when they start doing their fundy voices?" And she didn't believe that the new people, the three new people in the panel, would know what we were talking about, right? And it was so funny because they were very young. The girls in the panel were very young, and they were like, What do you mean if we walk into a room and there's men, we ask them,
How
hi,
are
how
you
are
doing,
you
sir?
today? And
Yes, sir. No,
my
sir.
friend was like, oh my God, you're telling the truth. You guys were taught to change your voices.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm like,
Like,
yes.
we called it the sweet spirit voice, the Relief Society voice, because in Mormonism, contention is of the devil.
Yes.
And not being of a meek and mild spirit, and not being and drawing attention to your own self, laughing when your laugh should be toned down. You should not be a cackler. If you walk into the nursery and you heard all the women in the back of the church going, and let a man walk in that room, you'll hear a complete silence out of all those women who were laughing.
Wow, that's wild. See, I never had it that bad, but it was always that, the men were the most honored people in the room, obviously treated like kings, like every man of the church. And it's always wild because I look back on that. We blindly trusted these men. I didn't know these men from anybody. They weren't my family members. Like, and even the
They
people
were.
that were my family members, some of them shouldn't have been blindly trusted anyhow, but for real. And we were taught to blindly trust all those men. But, the only time I was ever attempted to be groomed was by a man at the church that was a friend of my dad's. And that's exactly how he got close to me, was by befriending my father. Like,
And
he
we're
started
never
attending
taught.
all the events where my dad was at, and he would come to our house for dinner, and he was there all the time. And I was never taught anything about adults being dangerous or predatory or anything. I
Boundaries.
didn't even know
No
what
boundaries.
sex was until I was 12. By the time my mom had the talk with me about the birds and the bees, I had already been S8. Like, that was the reality of my story. My parents were so afraid of sex that they didn't even want to educate me about my own body. So when it was happening to me, I didn't even know it was happening. And I didn't have the language to articulate what had happened to me. I didn't know it was wrong. Like, I had no idea. I didn't feel bad or guilty about it until my mom had that conversation with me. And that was when I learned I didn't have my purity anymore. So I was the piece of chewed up gum and nobody would want me.
That's
And
the
it's
harm of
crazy.
ignorance.
Yes.
I know
And
so many
not every.
survivors who thought that because they had gay attractions, that God gave them AIDS.
Yeah.
They had no idea about the difference between HIV and AIDS. They had no idea
Yes.
about the medicines or
Yes.
protection or anything like that. And
Yes.
it is true for me too, until I came out later, years later,
Yeah.
and got my first test. I literally thought I was living with HIV because I was
Yes.
so
And
uneducated.
there are even people that we have talked to that, are queer, but they were raised in that indoctrinated mindset. So when they ended up catching HIV, they contracted it. Well, then they started feeling like they were cursed. That was God cursing them because that's what they had been told their whole life, that, God is cursing you and he curses the gays by giving them the HIV. And, that was something that he had to work on deconstructing because he's like, no, I'm not cursed. I am not a curse. I've never been a curse. This was the result of my own actions and, not being smart. And we are okay with this, but this is not a result of my faith or my wrongdoing or being out of the will of God. Because that indoctrination, like that programming, is what really messes us up. Because self-checking yourself, shame is so hard. Like, self-worth, huge. We talk about that all the time on this show, but it's so hard to be able to love yourself. And especially if you are a queer person, because you're taught in the church to hate queer people from the day that you're born till the day you escape. You're taught to hate the queer community. You just are. You're not allowed to associate with them. You're the Bible scriptures, like, what business light have with darkness? You
We
can't
were
be
promoted to call
unequally yoked.
names.
Yeah, like, I mean,
When the F word was out there
yes.
and I
Oh,
was in
yeah.
elementary school and stuff, I
Yeah.
remember my pastor getting up in the pulpit and calling a femme man in our church the
Yeah.
three letter F word.
Yeah.
And then and I remember him turning around to the church, and he was furious, hellfire and brimstone. He was like, that
Yeah.
is exactly the word you need to use. But I'm embarrassed, but that's how I was raised.
Yes.
I was
And the
raised
reality
that
is that we were raised like that, but we didn't believe that we were hateful. We didn't believe we were bigots. We didn't believe that we were, I mean, we knew we didn't like gay people, but we didn't even believe that we were homophobic. We were Christ-like. We were like Jesus. We were doing the will of God. So that made all of our hatred acceptable. That made all of our lies okay. Because I'll tell you what, one of the first things I learned when I deconstructed that doctrine was learning the statistics, because we had said for years that the queer community was responsible for harming children. And I'll tell you what, Sam, when I learned the truth, I was so angry, because I have so many friends that are part of this community, and so many people that I really care about. And I just so angry
You got
because
to flip
it's
those
so, yeah,
statistics.
and it's so untrue, and it's untrue in an astronomical way, like totally flipped the opposite way around. And all the people that are so loud about it are literally the people that are harming children the most. And I just, it made me sick. It really made me sick. And it's another reason why I have been so outspoken about things, about talking about the doctrine, the way it's used to manipulate people, all the harm it's caused, all the lives it has cost. Because let's just be real, it's not just about hurting feelings, it's costing people their actual lives. So we have to have these conversations, because it's not just a Bible verse that's hurting your feelings. It's severe mental and emotional trauma, and you can't escape that. It's permanently rewiring somebody's brain and their nervous system. So we
And it's
always
the
ask people,
code. It's I'm sorry.
no, go
It's
ahead.
the silent codes. I promise you, churches. My pastor would used to say, if we have company in the church, I will preach from this su subject. If I don't have company in the church, we will carry on as usual, right? So we knew when any outsiders came in, we thought they were coming in to spy on us and to hurt our congregation. So he would change his whole message for
Wow.
that service when
Wow.
strangers came into church. But he also would teach us when people weren't around the scripture where lightness, what does light have to do with darkness,
Yeah.
was the reason why I was taught that I was never allowed to be with anyone of color.
Wow.
Wow. That is
That
so messed up.
was, and then I realized that I don't really even think the ministers in our church have a high school education when I started looking back. They were
Yeah.
just called of God.
Yes. And there are so many churches that I have been in where pastors did not go to Bible college. They did not get any education. I can guarantee you that the majority of women pastors have more education than the men do, because they have to. They have to do twice the work to get into the same position to even be considered or taken seriously. Now, I was a pastor's kid, so I was preaching everywhere before I even went to Bible college, because I was the pastor's kid. So everybody just trusted me. And that was part of being part of the system, right? Is you get that privilege because you're the pastor's kid. Like,
I'm not sure
everybody already knows you.
if you're aware, but the Mormon Church has officially no paid clergy, and so that means every pastor is a volunteer for the next 5 years
Oh,
directly from the
wow.
congregation. It could be a plumber.
Oh,
Zero
wow.
experience in
And see,
psychology, theology. He could maybe never have read the Book of Mormon or the Bible, but now he's the pastor for the next 5 years.
There are so many pastors that are preaching that are not qualified to teach out of that Bible. They maybe went to Liberty University and got an education, but what they got is apologetics. They didn't get a theological understanding of that text. So all they're going to have is an understanding that confirms a bias and upholds bigotry, homophobia, and racism. That's
Which
what
is
they
so
got.
sad because, I mean, I'm not sure if you're aware, but there was a Supreme Court case called Childs v. Salazar where they are trying to argue that therapy is free speech and
Yeah.
that because of that, it can't be harmful type of thing. But let's even go back to what you were talking about, like how it is torture. If you look at the
Yes.
World Health Organization, conversion therapy is deemed torture.
Yes.
And that's what the research shows. And it's so frustrating because when anyone actually is trained as a clinician, I do have a background in marriage and family therapy. I'm not licensed, but that is my training. You are told there are certain things that if you do this, because of your position of assumed authority, you could be harming your client simply by saying things in very specific ways. So you have to know that words harm people. They do have an impact. And so this idea that words don't really hurt people, I'm sorry, there's a reason we call our organization Conversion Therapy Survivor Network, because people in our network usually know the names and faces of people who were in the rooms with us while we were trying to change, and they are no longer here because they did not survive the psychological torture they were put through. It's not just words that aren't
No.
harmful.
And you know, we were
It can
taught.
be no words. Have you ever been shunned? Have you ever been shamed? Have you ever been told, not you, Sam, but everybody, I apologize. But
I
when
got
you're
it.
sitting in church and you went to your pastor and you bear out your soul about the abuse that's going on behind closed doors, and you get to church the next day, the pastor looks at you, brings you up in front of the church as a female, and your husband's sitting on the pew, and he's like, "Tell everybody here what you told me yesterday." And the microphone's given to me in my face. And I had to repeat to 250 people everything my husband had done to me out loud. And then when I got done, I was told by the pastor that I was a 1990 woman who wanted her own way, that didn't understand the ways of God. And he looked at the women in the church, and if you have a high controlled religion, one makes your clothes for your family, other women babysit your babies, other women bakes the cakes and candy and stuff for your church. You know what I'm saying? They are your community that you go to for everything. You can't buy Pentecostal outfits in J.C. Penney's. They have to be made. And that pastor looked at every woman and said, "And I am charging every woman that can hear my voice. They are not allowed to speak to this woman, talk to this woman until she decides to pray and become the wife that she's supposed to be for her husband."
And I don't think it's a coincidence that when you talk to women survivors of conversion therapy, they share stories like exactly what you said. Because for the lesbian or female bisexual individuals who are survivors, forcing them into strict gender norms were absolutely part of their conversion therapy. Part of my conversion therapy was
That breaks
when
my
they
heart.
asked me, like, how do you feel about your manhood? And I feel uncomfortable, right? They said, well, you're a transgender woman. And so what we need to have you do is put your mom in her place every time she is domineering. First of all, my mom's a Puerto Rican woman from the Bronx. I choose life.
He's like,
No,
"No, I don't want to die today."
that's not going to happen.
I'm sorry.
But also, like, how sad is it that I can talk with conversion therapy survivors who are male and get so angry at the fact that they were telling me to try out a woman, and then the and every male in that room is nodding their head, and then the women in that group are like, I was never told to just try out a man. Are you kidding me? So that gender dynamic that's just inherent within the church, that is absolutely a part of our healing as conversion therapy survivors, because that was part of it for us. And I don't think that's a
Absolutely.
coincidence.
No, not at all.
That's
And
intentional.
yes, absolutely.
And
Because,
Sam, can I say this? I was raised in West Palm Beach, Florida. It is pretty much probably 75 to 85% Puerto Rican. So when you tell me about your mom, I can see the hands flowing, the
absolutely.
tortillas going around
And
in a circle.
the tongue a flying, because you know that mouth is going to be running with it.
My first language is in Spanish, but it's all in, you did something wrong.
But it's all in love. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that every home, when my friends and stuff, you could hear their parents talking in Spanish down the road if they were in trouble. And we knew we'll come back at another time.
But that's also, unfortunately, the racist history of conversion therapy. Because, I mean, think it for me, here I was told, all of us were told you are gay because you have a domineering mother and an absentee father. Well, I'm sorry that the women in my household predominantly are the ones who have to do the work, who have to take care of the family because our men are disproportionately put into prison. Sorry, wasn't necessarily my choice. And so when here you are touting, this is why I became gay, well, then disproportionately you would find more gay people in marginalized communities where the men are put in prison. And lo and behold, being queer is universal and literally everywhere and everything. So here's the logic behind it, but I have to ignore it
I mean,
because I have to change whether I like it or not. I have no choice until I can't.
So, Sam, we always ask people that are on our show every week if you are talking to somebody who is just now starting to deconstruct, or maybe they've been, through conversion torture and they want a better way out, what would you offer for them as advice on their journey?
You are not broken. There is nothing wrong with you. It was not your fault. And if you want to take a break from your deconstruction, that's fine. If you want to make deconstruction your thing forever, that's fine. If you want to get into advocacy and then, oops, I guess I realize I accidentally found that I'm being a missionary all over again and still feeling like I have to earn my love by my behavior. Okay, that's fine too. Okay. I just think it's important to remember that the core harm of what those harmful systems do is to make you think that there's one correct way to be. And I am here to tell you, as long as you are being authentic and real and honest and you're not harming someone, you're fine. You're fine.
Absolutely. And honestly, being your authentic self is literally the most beautiful thing that you can be, because that's when you're going to meet your people. Like, they will gravitate towards you. Like, I've said it over and over again, but I never had like real, authentic, genuine friendships like I do now after deconstructing, But when you're in a high control religious space, those people don't even know how to show up for themselves. So they can't
And
show
we
up
don't know
for
how to show
you.
up for women. We are always taught to be so skeptical of other women that we lose what womanhood and sisterhood really means. We're brothers in the church, got a brotherhood inside the church. The women are kind of like isolated because we are the ones to make sure that everybody else is being policed. And we know that there's certain women in the church that are the police officers. And so we get this sense of distrust for the very individuals we should be bringing bonding
Yes,
sisterhood with.
absolutely.
And they
Like,
become our enemies with inside the congregation because we're not sure if we're allowed to trust them.
I could not share freely with the women that I was in community with in religious
Never.
spaces, because everything was used against me. It was all used to judge me or discredit what it is that I felt like my calling was, or whatever, Hell, I can remember being openly mocked by a group of women at my church because I told them that I was going to become a preacher and I was going to travel around and preach. And they laughed at me. And I now know it's because they viewed themselves so small that they thought that I can't do with anything like this, so there's no way she's gonna do it. I went on and did it anyhow because that's just who I am. Because I was like, I'll show you.
But that's now. That wasn't when we were sitting inside that church being made fun of for telling somebody what's going on or what we want to do or our dreams and desires. And all of a sudden, Thursday night service, the pastor's
Because,
preaching on it.
And you internalize a lot of that messaging too, and I honestly, I didn't start preaching until after I left that particular church and got around other people that were more encouraging towards me and my vision, where I wanted to go. But if I would have stayed in that church, I would have never went. And it was crazy because it was the first time we had left a church. And it was the first time I saw the way that church people act when you're no longer part of their congregation. And I thought it was so weird. I was like, we used to, you said we were family, right? But there were no more calls, no more messages, no more nothing because I wasn't putting money in the offering plate anymore. So we didn't exist.
You know, I don't
Somebody,
think
oh,
it's
go
a
ahead.
coincidence that some of the most Christ-like people that I knew before leaving the church, and this challenged me, were atheists.
Yes.
Because it's fascinating, especially now looking back at it, my ability to actually love unconditionally, to actually give unconditional positive regard, is so free-flowing now.
Yes.
Because now I'm able to just recognize the deep humanity of
Yes.
every individual that I see.
Yep.
But when your lens is you have to earn your
Yes.
humanity, no, that love is
And we were
conditional.
also taught to immediately look for a reason to strip their humanity away.
Yeah.
Like that's what we were always taught to do, is look for their sin, you know? And as soon as you know that they sin in some way, you just write them off. They're not one of us, you
Not to
know? They're not a
mention, like,
righteous.
if something is a sin, let's even say that someone legitimately did harm, the way to address that harm is not to shame them. It's
No.
to help them understand why it was harm,
Yep.
help them to understand what drove that harm in the first place, and let's rehabilitate you. Let's
Yeah.
heal the person and support the person who was harmed.
Yep.
God forbid we actually address the problem rather than just shame everyone into boxes and the
Exactly.
harm continues
And
because it's never
that's the
addressed.
reality. And that's the thing.
Never.
And that's why it's a perpetuating cycle. Like you have generation after generation after generation of Christian, but they're not happy because they haven't, none of them have locked into what that is. That cycle has not been broken. And then yoo-hoo, you break the cycle. Yay. And then they all hate you. I love it. But I mean, it is what it is. But it's because they're afraid. They're so afraid of
It's
what they
hard to
don't know.
escape.
It is.
It's so
And
hard.
I still, at times, I'm like, how was I able to see things, you know, because I was in it, honey. I was in it, right?
I never know how
Yeah.
I was able. When I sit back now and I'm like, 3 seconds walking over a threshold of a church door pushed me into a world I didn't know anything about. I was 27. 3 seconds made me a single mom,
Yeah.
made me without any community, made
Yeah.
me without a mother, father, sister, brother, friends, anybody, and I still walked over that threshold.
Yep.
I love it. And I think that's why I love, not only because it's funny, but I like sharing the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Buffalo story
Yes,
because
yes.
I think it's actually really affirming that when you catch yourself playing your old scripts,
Yes.
oh, I'm just singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Mormon again. I'm not broken. I'm not,
Yes.
whatever. You know, instead of some shame, why don't I just extend myself some compassion
Yes.
and then
Oh my God.
maybe move on?
Yeah, my trauma therapist looked at me and she's like, Jezebel, you've been in here almost 2 years. She goes, and I have never seen someone beat up themselves so much
Yeah.
for other people.
Yes,
She
you do
goes, you
that.
haven't even come in here one time and said, I'm angry. You
Yeah.
haven't come in here one time and said, I feel grief. And I looked at her and I like stopped. She goes, and I looked at her, I was like, you're right. She goes, not one time. She goes, I'm not even wanting to start EMDR with you. And we've been together a year and a half because you have not even acknowledged that what you've suffered is painful.
Yeah.
And
I
You
think what's
laugh.
sad is
I'm
that,
like, yeah.
you know, in the church we were told what love was like.
Yeah.
But I tell you, when you first are able to forgive yourself for being human and then realize there's nothing to forgive in the first place,
Yes.
when you are able to finally give yourself that unconditional regard and love for yourself, suddenly it's really hard to judge others. And you
Yes.
finally start to love others in a way that
Yes.
you never could before.
Never.
And it's so sad that they're completely missing that.
Yes,
And
that's
I could have been
exactly what it
taught that.
is. Yep,
I'm
they're
sorry.
missing out on so much, like so many people that they could love, so many incredible relationships that they could have, so many experiences that they could get to, you know. And it's like, why? I don't get it. Like, now that I am opened up to all this love, and not just that, the queer community has loved me in ways that the church never has. Like, I literally, the first time I went to Pride, and I've said it before, but it was a spiritual experience for me. Like, it was such an amazing, incredible, just, oh, amazing experience. And the love that I felt that weekend, I was like, this is holy.
Yeah.
And you won't ever be able to convince
It
me
is
otherwise.
so
Like,
wild. 'Cause like as a Mormon, I was told that, you know, the whole goal was to find my eternal partner, get
yeah.
married, and make babies forever, right?
Yep.
And it's so wild that I've been with my husband for 14 years, 15 years. And it's wild that every now and then I look at him and I have the thought, I found my eternal companion. And I'm
Yeah.
so excited that I get to be with him forever. And it's cool that like even that little Mormon boy is still there.
Yes.
And what he always wanted got addressed. Just
Yeah.
absolutely not how he thought it
No.
would.
And, you know, that's the way it is with one of my friends. She's like, you know, I wanted for so long for God to change me, to heal me. But what really needed healed is the way that I saw myself.
Yes.
And the way that I understand how God sees me, because I
Yes.
was never broken. It was just the way that I saw myself that was, you know? And oh my goodness, that was so heavy when it landed with me, because I was like, wow. But we were all taught to view ourselves as broken, right?
And suddenly you see everyone who's different from me has a lesson for me to learn. I
Yes,
tell you what,
everybody has something they can teach you, everybody.
when I started talking with asexual people,
Yeah.
my mind shattered. Because
Yeah.
I was like, wait, you don't even experience sexual
That's my
attraction?
daughter. That's my
Oh my
daughter. And
God.
I have asked her a million questions. I love her. But, you know, it was the same way when I started working with a coworker. And it's crazy because it's how I started learning about the queer community. It's the first time I've ever been in community with a queer person. So I just started asking them all kinds of questions. And I probably asked them way more questions than I needed to ask. But I am a curious person. I want to know how everything worked, right? And I was like, but wait a minute, this person isn't like a freaking weirdo. They're not a schmettophile, you know, all this stuff. I was like, all those stereotypes didn't fit this person. They were caring, they were kind, compassionate, they helped their neighbors, they helped out people that were in need. Something's not adding up here. And it was that person that really started challenging everything I had been taught, because I was like, this can't be right. What I
And
have been taught cannot be right.
it's sad because the church could totally monopolize on that. If you could see
Yes.
the beauty of God's creation in its
Yes.
diversity,
Yes.
that feels holy.
Yes.
It's too far gone for me. There's no way I could ever go back to a
Yep, me
religion.
neither.
But
Me
I feel
neither.
like that could have been a way for me to
Yes.
maintain my
If
faith.
they would have been open,
Yep.
affirming, accepting of the whole of creation, it probably would have done a lot to change me, my heart, my faith, and because they would have been treating people better. They would have been treating humanity as a whole better. And I think that's why I can't align myself, like, and I can't excuse it away, because I got to the point where I was like, well, I follow the Jesus that's love, you know, he loves everybody. But we can go back and look at history for centuries and look at the harm that has been done in the name of this religion. And the reality is you can't align yourself with it in any way whatsoever and take up that label without taking up that harm in some way. It is attached to you by wearing that label. And, you know, I couldn't wear the label anymore because I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't sleep at night holding that label and carrying that around with me. It literally was the last piece of my deconstruction, was letting that label go.
And
It was.
having said that, to tag on to Heather, is that I did a podcast several years ago when I first started talking out about what I went through when I left the cult and a high controlled religion. And I was talking on a Christian podcast, and I told them, I said, let me make sure that you understand something. When a woman walks into your church with three little babies and she's a single mom, and you know she's moved from South Florida to Michigan, and you still want to be mean and shame her and shun her and make her feel like she's dirty and has done something wrong. If you want to know why I will not come back to a church house today, you need to go look inside your own church house. you and your religions and your church houses, the way they are set
Yep.
up for somebody who wanted to be a Christian woman and a Christian mom.
Yeah.
You are the reasons why I will never return.
Yeah.
This
Just didn't
is what
happen.
church should have looked like.
Yes,
Loving,
exactly. That's right.
healing,
Yep. Yes.
fixing broken systems,
Yes.
making the world a heaven on earth. That's what church
Exactly.
should have been.
Yes,
And because
exactly.
we believed what they taught, but they didn't live up to their
Yes.
own teachings,
Yep.
we're having to make the heaven on earth here.
And we're having church in our own way now, having these honest conversations and exposing the harm. So let's talk
Absolutely.
about Can't Pray Me Away Survivors Network. So you founded this network. Were you the one who founded it?
I was not.
Okay.
I started the TikTok account Can't Pray Me Away
Okay.
to just share my experiences. And then I got in community with people. And then I found there was actually a nonprofit just for survivors. And it was, I'm telling you, it was wild. I ended conversion therapy in 2005. And I didn't find Conversion Therapy Survivor Network until 2020.
Oh, wow.
15 years of having this pain I
Yeah.
could not talk about in therapy because
Wow.
I mean, think about it. If the therapy room is where you're harmed, why would you go back?
Yes.
And
Yes.
when you try to talk about it, it all comes rushing back and then you're overwhelmed and you can't talk about it, right?
Yes.
And it's been life-changing to
Yeah.
get into a weekly support group with Conversion Therapy Survivor Network. I can say something like, I love my parents and I still can't forgive them. And every head will nod because they get
Yes.
it. This
Yes.
complex, I need my chosen family. I want to include my parents, but they're still not affirming and it hurts me. So I
Yes.
can't. There's so many issues that survivors have to deal with, like even Mother's Day posts. I'm
Yes.
sorry, but
Oh.
my mom's the one who sent me to conversion therapy.
Yes.
I can't celebrate that day,
Yes.
right?
No.
There's
Right.
so many
Right.
things that we uniquely struggle with
Yes.
that you just can't talk about, sometimes even with other queer people, because they'll look at you like, why would you try and pray it away? Because they
Yes.
didn't have it as hard, right?
No,
Or
they,
they didn't have religious
yes,
trauma.
exactly. And if you're not raised in a religious home, you're not going to understand that harm. You're not going to understand it all.
Exactly.
So is it a free to sign up or join? Like, because I just want to let people know if
Yeah.
you are a conversion therapy survivor, there
Yes.
are resources available. And I'm definitely going to leave Sam's links in the show notes like we always do. That way you can find the network. You also can find his TikTok page so you can keep up with what it is that he's doing. He does a lot of advocacy work as well. So we are
And
just really
yeah, thank you,
grateful.
Sam. All free.
It
And
is,
I will
yeah.
say, I
Thank
talked
you.
with the Trevor Project, and they
Oh.
let me know they are, a crisis line,
Yeah.
and they do focus on 25 and under. But they reassured me, if you're older than 25 and you're in crisis, you
Yeah.
can still call
You can
them.
still
They
call
will
them.
not hang up on you. We're not a crisis line. We're a weekly support group. And even though
Yes.
we are a US-based nonprofit, we
Yeah.
do get people from all over the world.
That's
Because
awesome.
conversion therapy is worldwide. It is still
Yes.
happening. It happens in many, many forms. It is free
Yes.
for survivors. We do need donations because that's how we can go to Pride and let people know their support.
Yeah.
Also, it's not free to just run a Zoom worldwide
Yes.
and have insurance
Yes.
and do all the things that we have to do. So if you're a survivor, there is support for you. And if you're not a survivor, I want you to hear that, like, you may have still experienced some form of conversion therapy.
Yes.
So if you are uncomfortable with your gender expression, even if you're a cisgendered person, normalize the hell out of that. And that's
Yeah.
okay. And if you don't think that what you went through qualifies as conversion therapy, oh, okay, fine. You don't need that label. But I'm going to tell you the number one thing that happens when people come to the support group for the first time is, I'm not sure I belong here, but conversion
Yeah.
therapy, survivor story, blah, 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 blah. And then everyone's like, Well, I think you belong here.
Because a lot of,
Right.
and the reality is too, is that you can literally be a religious trauma survivor and still relate to a lot of the conversion therapy stuff because we've experienced a lot of the same
Yep.
things. Like it's the
Exactly.
same manipulation tactics, you
And
know? Like
if it
when you
doesn't fit,
said,
then just don't come back next week.
yeah.
That's fine.
Exactly. And when you said what you did about the women in the group and what they said, that like struck so home, so harsh for me, hard
Yes.
because I had no idea. You know what I'm saying? It's like it put me in their shoes for a moment because I know what
Yes.
happened to me. I
Yeah.
know how
Yeah.
it destroyed me. I
Yeah.
know how long it has taken me to get to the point that I am today. And I left when I was 27 and I'm in my 50s today. I
Yeah.
understand that. And when you said that, thank you, Sam, because that really brought to
Yeah.
light what other
Soji's
people may be. Yes. Oh my
sexual
gosh. Yes.
orientation, gender identity, or expression change
Yes.
effort. Straight people can experience
And
torture through conversion
yes,
therapy. It's not just queer
absolutely.
people they're trying to demonize. It's
Yep.
everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just have to say this as well. I have followed you forever on TikTok. And when Heather was telling me that we were having you today, I was like, good. That's, you know. And then when I saw your face, I was like, oh my God, it's
I was so honored.
him.
Honestly, my first thought was like, Heather? I never thought I'd be, I never even thought to reach out. I thought that was like punching above my pay grade.
Oh my, no, I no, I thought that I was like kind of reaching out to try and ask you to the opposite side. So, oh my goodness, I'm so honored right now. Like,
Yeah.
what?
But again, kind
Sometimes.
of like how I started before the recording, like all of us are just like, I'm sorry for taking up space. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yes,
Sorry. Right. And
yes, yes.
we're just so used to having that training, but I'm just going to validate myself that that need to not take up space is just a
Yeah.
little Rudolph the Red-Nosed Mormon, and that's okay.
Yes.
And
And I
that's fine.
love that you gave us that term because it's so fitting. It is so fitting.
And
Right.
every
And
Christmas
thank
you will
you.
remember it
Yes.
and validate yourself.
Thank you so much
Exactly.
for coming and hanging out with us this week. To our listeners, we love you guys. We appreciate you being here with us again this week. Hit that like button or subscribe so you don't ever miss a show. And definitely follow the links for Sam. Find him. Listen to what he's putting out there. He's doing incredible work. He's helping people all over the world. And we are just so stinking grateful for him. So thank you again for being here with us today, Sam. We love you.
Love you too.
Thank you, Sam. Much love.
Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by the host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2026.